and I called it the gardener. Don't know if anyone remembers when I taught this. Anyone remembers this? Okay. Psalms 1:3. You know, as I've said, there's several places where you can always find Jesus, right? Where God always seems to meet with certain people. Anyone name some places that are repeated in the Bible? Sister Melissa. A well, that's right. A garden and a mountain. It seems that at least those three places you can always see repeated in the Bible that Jesus shows up or God shows up. And that's why they made the high places. Well, I want to start off with the first original temple, the first place, the first meeting place, which was, of course, the Garden of Eden. Psalms likens us to be like a seed. It says, "And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." Do you like that? Wouldn't it be great if whatsoever we do prospered? Well, the key is, are you planted? Because if you're planted and you're getting nutrients, then that plant is going to grow and prosper. And so that's the key to being blessed, is that you have to have some roots planted in some good soil. And the word has got to be watering you. If you are in those conditions, then you're going to bring forth fruit. And the scripture says, whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. So let's look at the process. I said in the beginning, God went through a process of creation. And in Isaiah 43:7, it gives the three initial processes that God, I believe, used in Genesis. It says, "Even everyone that is called by my name." You called by his name? Amen. "For I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him." And so you can see that there are three steps there. And I have likened those steps to the three part nature of man as he was originally created. We were created a spirit being or soul. He formed the body. And then he took that spirit, that soul, put it in a body, and then breathed on it. And that's where we have the word made. And those are three different Hebrew words. Created in the Hebrew is bara, and it means created out of nothing. It has another meaning, which is choice also. But in this instance, we're using it in the reference of creation out of nothing. The Bible said, God said, "Let there be." There is power in the words that you speak. Did you know that? Have you said some negative things this week already? I have. Confession. Now, I was listening to someone. I think it's probably Joel Osteen. That's who we can get on the satellite radio when we're traveling. And, you know, sometimes he says some good stuff. And he said, you know, the difference is when you speak the word out. Yes, thoughts are going to come to us. Negative thoughts are going to come to us. But don't speak them. Don't actualize them. Don't let them come out of your mouth. "Yes, I'm in trouble. Man, I'm going to mess up now." Don't say that. And we all at times do that. Why are we declaring defeat? Amen? So when God spake, he just spake out of nothing. And this is the word in Genesis, bara, means created out of nothing. And then the word formed in the Hebrew is yatsah. That's when he formed man from the dust of the earth. That means it was something that was already in existence. It was something that was already there. Then the last thing, Hebrew word there, is asa. And so there's a process to the steps of creation. And I've outlined, and I'm going to show you in this lesson, that there were seven steps of creation. Anyone jog anybody's memory now? Anyone can remember all seven of the words? Okay, all right. Because each of these was applied in a certain situation and time. And remember, the words, I think it's in John that says 6:63, the words that I speak, they are what? Spirit, and they are life. In fact, Sister Melissa has been talking about speaking life. Amen. That's how God created the universe. He spoke it into existence. Amen. And as I've been saying last month, our theme was speak to your mountain. We need to speak positive. And it's so easy to let the negative come out of our mouth, and then we are wondering why we are in conflict. Amen. So we see in the spiritual, he created the spirit and the soul, and he formed the body from the dust of the earth, and then he made the spirit covering. Amen. So I said that there's something really interesting. After that, the next creative word is what? After those three, we have bara, which is created, yatsa, which means formed, asa, which means made, and then what's the next creative word that God does? Planted. There's a sequence there, and the Lord God planted. Now, as I've said before, that's really amazing, because he could have just kept on speaking. But there's a new difference in the creative act. He takes the trouble to plant a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he formed. Now, if you plant a garden, what does that mean you're doing? To plant a garden, what do you got to have? You got to have seeds, you got to have soil. That's a minimum, right? So when it said God planted, that means he took something and put it in the ground. Amen? It wasn't creation out of nothing this time. It was something that was pre-existent, some seeds, and he put it in the ground. Who has planted a garden this year? All right. Well, I've been eating tomatoes, and they've been really good. Really juicy, delicious tomatoes. Who else? I saw some hands up here. Miracle, what did you plant? Sunflowers. Did you get a crop yet? No? Sister Johnny. Wow. When is the harvest? I haven't had any. Huh? Okay, you did give some. Okay, then I have had some of the first fruits. Amen. Sister Margaret. Amen. I'm getting hungry. Amen. I haven't eaten yet. Sister Melissa, what did you plant? You did green peppers. Okay, so she did more. See, we only have a little balcony, so it's amazing what she's able to do with just that little balcony. Amen. I don't know how we're going to move those tomato plants because they've kind of taken over the balcony. But this is what God did. He planted a garden. And that means that there was a reason that there was a different word and a different act of creation. This was personal and close up. If you're going to plant, it's going to take some labor, right? It's not just a word of faith. It takes some labor if you're going to create or make a garden. Amen? And the Hebrew word for that is nata. I believe, you know, we have a word natal. Something born. Amen. So we see that the four words so far, the process that God did, first he created, then he formed, then he made, and then the fourth word is he planted. Amen. Now I'm going to show you how these words so far relate to us. He planted. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Okay, what's the next word? Anyone spot the next word after planted? Let me read it again. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to sight and good for food. So the words so far are created, formed, made, planted, and grow. Do you see there's a sequence there? You can't get growth if you have not planted. In the normal course of things, you can't get growth without... You can have a seed and it can sit on your shelf and it will stay there. You will not get growth until it's first what? In fact, in the New Testament, it says that you cannot be quickened or made alive except what? Except you die and you be what? Planted. That's such a significant verse because it explains the difference between people who have been filled with the Spirit but not baptized. You understand that if it's not planted, it will not be what? Quickened, made alive. So the seed can be there, but if it's not planted, it will not be quickened. That's what the scripture says. Amen. It will not be quickened. We'll get to that. So the next Hebrew word is grow. Grow. Anyone can think of the next one after that? So we have created, formed, made, planted, grow, water. Because what does he do next? And a river went out of Eden. To keep the growth going, what do you need? You need water. You need water. And a river went out of Eden to water the gardens. And from thence it was parted and became into four heads, four streams. Four streams. The Bible says that the word does what? Washes us. It's what cleanses us. Water cleanses. In fact, it's the most important thing for life. When the scientists send these probes to other planets, the most important thing they're looking for first is what? What? They know if there's no water, there is what? No life. Let's think about that. Amen. Without baptism, there will be no life. There are three that bear witness on earth, right? The water, the blood, and the spirit. And these three agree in one. Without the water, there is no life. And there is no growth. You can care for the plant all you want. There have been several times when my wife has had to leave me alone. And guess what I forgot to do? Water the plants. And you can tell because tomato plants are so sensitive to, they all start to droop over. I think I've been fortunate in that the rain has helped me out a few times. But when it was hot and I didn't water, you could see that they were ready to die. She says, you didn't water it. But God had a plan. You can see this in the words that he's using to build his process. And a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from thence it was parted and became into four heads. See, the gardener has a plan. See, we are his seed. We are his offspring. And the gardener has a plan. He first word was to create. His second word was to form. Amen. I don't know if they have started filling that yet, but if they haven't, now would be a good time. Third word was to make. Fourth word was to plant. And then grow. And then water. All right, that's six. All right. Anyone remember what the seventh word was? We'll come to it. The rivers of Eden. Let's look at that, because these rivers that God used to help the process weren't just ordinary rivers. The first one is called Pison, and it means increase. Increase. Without water, you won't get no growth. You won't get no increase. Genesis 2:13, and the name of the second river is called Gihon, which means bursting forth. Amen. My wife had to call me about 2 weeks ago to help put some stakes on the tomatoes because they were bursting forth. They were so heavy with tomatoes that they needed some stakes to help. Gihon means bursting forth. And the third river is Hiddekel, and it means rapid. Once the things start to grow, sometimes it just becomes a bursting forth, a great harvest, a multiplying. And the fourth river was called Euphrates, which means fruitfulness. Increase. See, this is what happens when you plant a seed in faith and God blesses it. It says increase, bursting forth, rapid fruitfulness. Isn't that great? Paul said about his ministry, he said, Paul does what? One plants, one waters, but God gives the increase. The trouble is anyone planting? Is anyone watering? Because unless you do that, there isn't anything for God to give an increase. He will promise to bless what? The work of our hands. As long as you have something, he can multiply it. If you will bring him nothing, when you multiply nothing, you still have what? Nothing. Amen. So now let's go back to this. The garden in the gardener. The gardener in the garden. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. See, this is a place where you meet God. We see that many times, but the next big time is after the resurrection, right? We see a return to the garden right after the resurrection. Because where did Jesus resurrect to? Garden of Gethsemane, right? Let's look at that. John 20:15. Jesus saith unto her, she came, Mary Magdalene came early to the garden looking for Jesus. And she saw the tomb was empty and she was weeping. She came looking for Jesus. But instead, she met the gardener. She thought he was the gardener. Jesus saith unto her, woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She supposing him to be the gardener. The truth is, he was the gardener. He is the gardener. And sometimes we have to let him work on our garden, work on our plant. You know, they say you have to prune some things. Anyone had a rose bush? Every year you got to cut away some of the thorns, some of the branches that weren't producing anything. And then the next year you'll find you'll have a multiplicity of blooms. Jesus said unto her, woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus said unto her, Mary. That's all he had to say. And she realized instantly whom he was. They knew in the Garden of Eden who it was because they heard what? The voice of the Lord walking in the garden. In Garden of Gethsemane, it wasn't until he spoke that she realized who this really was. And what I'm trying to tell you tonight is that God has a plan for your life. Sometimes we forget that and we think we got to have a plan for our life. Every time I've tried to put a plan for my life into practice, it's when it's gone all wrong. Amen. Let's start with the first word. What was the first word? Create. Let's see how that works in practice. We have to first have a clean heart. Psalm 51:10. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. The first thing God did was create us in his image and likeness. His image is spirit. God is a spirit. If we are not first created brand new out of nothing in him, we're nothing. David knew that the way back to repentance was first with his heart. We can wash the outside, but if the heart isn't right, it's not going to last. It's just a fake. It's a pretense. So the first word of creation has to be out of nothing. It's not something that we are going to fix. It's God's fixing. It's his plan. So the gardener has to work upon our spirit man. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew. Put a right spirit, put a right covering back into my life. Amen. In Galatians, what's the next word? Is formed, right? Galatians 4:19, my little children of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be what? Formed in you. Here we have the second word of creation. God has got to form Christ. That's a process. That doesn't happen overnight. He said he travailed. That means he was praying for them. Paul was praying for those Galatian brethren. They had come out of idol worship. They had come out of all kinds of hedonistic practices of sexual immorality. And he'd been laboring over, he'd been travailing until Christ be formed in you. See, we need all of these words to come to fruition in our life. God has got to create in us a clean heart. Amen. When Jesus saw Nathanael, he said, there is an Israelite in which there is no guile. That means he had a pure heart. He wasn't one of these people tell you one thing in front of your face and then say something else behind your back. God has got to put a clean heart and a new spirit, renew our spirit for us to truly be in his plan. There's a process to this. The gardener has a plan for us. First create and then formed. and then made. Titus 3:7, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs. Once you have been created and formed, you can be made, hallelujah, by the Holy Spirit, an heir. Amen. According to the hope of eternal life. You see, there's a process to God's plan of creation in the Old Testament that is fulfilled in the New Testament through these words. After made, what did I say was the next word? Planted. All right. And I read that one, Romans 6:5. For if we have been what? Planted together. That's what's going to happen, Sister Isha. You're going to be planted together tonight in the likeness of his death. Amen. So that we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Amen. Do you understand that God planted a garden in Eden? And it goes on to say he also planted the tree of life. That means he planted something that came up, resurrected, and gave life. When we are planted together with him by baptism, the Bible promises us that we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Amen. Create in me a clean heart, O Lord. Let Christ be formed in me. And then we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. And then we can be planted. Amen. For if we have been planted together. Now remember what the scripture says. That if he didn't plant you, you're going to be what? We can't plant ourselves. Any plant, every plant that my Father hath not planted shall be what? Rooted up. God has got to do it. Amen. For if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. And what's the next word? After plant. Then we can grow. Amen. Then we can start to grow. Ephesians 4:15. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. If you are not growing, there's something wrong. There's something wrong. As a Christian, when you first come to Christ, you don't know everything. You just believe and you be obedient. But there's got to be a time of growth where there's some things you can deal with now that maybe 10 years ago you couldn't deal with. I mean, you should have made some progress in Christ. You should have a little bit more faith, a little bit more patience, a little bit more love, a little bit more understanding. See, it says, but speaking the truth in love may grow up. When you come here and you're preach the word, or you're taught the word, or you read the word in your Bible, that is some plant food. That's what that is. That you may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. We are being transformed, the Bible said. Be transformed by what? The renewing of your mind, so that we should have the same mind as Christ Jesus. That's a growth. See, he was the tree of life. The Bible says that he in him was there was life, and that he was the light of this world. Amen. All right, what's the next word? Create, form, made, plant, grow, water. But whosoever, that's of the Holy Spirit, the interpretation in today. John 4:14. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall what? Never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Amen. Amen. Create, formed, made, plant, grow, water. Amen. You see, that's the gardener's plan for us. Everything that God does in the Old Testament is a mirror and a type and a shadow for a literal fulfillment. He wants us to be created in him. He wants us to be formed in the process to be like Christ, to be made an heir, hallelujah, a joint heir. And to be planted so that when stuff comes, we don't move. We may sway, but we're not going to blow over. We're not a tumbling weed. We're not that kind of plant. You see those weeds, that just, wherever the wind blows, that's where they go. They have no roots. They haven't been planted. But if you have been planted, when stuff comes into your life, yes, it may make you sway a little bit, but you're going to come back. Amen. Because you have been rooted and grounded. Amen. And therefore you are able to grow. And if you keep on with the watering and let the water of the word, it says, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. All right. Amen. So what I just showed you is how in the Old Testament, the seven, well, I haven't given you the last word yet, but the six words so far are mirrored in the New Testament in a Christian's life, are mirrored in our walk with God. We should have all of these being fulfilled every day, because that's how we become a new creation in Christ. And then the old things will be passed away. Amen. Let's go back to the garden. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And I said, why planted? Why not created or made? Why did he do this? Well, let me give you a clue, right? Because he was starting a process. When you plant a plant and it grows up, what does it produce? That's right. But first, before it produces other plants, it has got to do what? What has it got to give out? Another seed, right? Another seed. This is the reason why he didn't just create. The angels are created, but they do not do what? They do not reproduce, because they were never planted. They were never planted. You understand what I'm trying to say? If he stopped at just creation, then we would just be souls. But because he went all the way to planted, he did that to show the sequence, because a plant will reproduce. We are not just called to be angels just to sit here. But if we have let the word water us, amen, if the ground that we've been planted in is good soil, then at some point we're going to do what? Reproduce. After his, that's why he planted, so that things could produce after their kind. And the Lord God said, let the earth bring forth grass and herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And of course, when God says, let there be, its only answer is, it was so. Amen. I want God to say, let there be. Amen. In my life, I want to be a seed bearing fruit. I want to be a seed-bearing herb. I want to be planted so that I can bring forth something that's going to be pleasing to him. Amen? So you can see now there was a reason why he didn't just create. Because creation, just like that, is usually a one-time thing. Anything he created usually is eternal. The earth, right? He says, while there is springtime and harvest, it's going to remain. But because we want to be a growing thing, he had to plant. And that's why he changed his creative acts. Do you see that? Amen. Is it making sense? Amen. See, I don't just want to be created. The angels were created, but they cannot reproduce. But we were not just created. We were formed. We were made. We went through a process. Amen. We were planted. Planted. And then we were commanded to grow. And then if we've let the Spirit water us, we should bring forth a harvest. Amen. See, here's something interesting. There are some plants now that don't reproduce with seeds. But if we go back to Genesis, look at this. It says, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. But we have some plants today that can reproduce without seed. Remember what I started off telling you about what has happened, what they announced today? That they are now getting to the point where they can make mankind reproduce without a seed. Let's look at this a little bit more. God did not create the earth that way originally, yielding seed after his kind. Herb yielding seed after his kind, and tree yielding fruit whose seed was in itself after his kind, and God called that good. Something has happened, right? Because nowadays there are some plants that reproduce, and usually they're the pesky plants. They're the weeds and tares that can reproduce without seed. One of them is called the Canada thistle. Now, does that jog your mind back to Genesis? Cursed is the ground. Thorns and See, when he originally created the earth, nothing reproduced without having seed. But look at this. The Canada thistle, and I put the Latin name, is an aggressive, creeping, perennial weed that infests crops, pastures, and rangeland. And it reproduces by what they call vegetative cloning. It doesn't need to be fertilized by anything. It reproduces by cloning. But we can see that from Genesis 1 and 2, that was not God's original setup. It seems to be it was only after the curse that there came to be these things that reproduced without seed. Without seed. Amen. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. Amen. So what God first planted was seeds, and that's what he expected to harvest after his kind. Now, I said all of this, and I said what I said at the beginning to let you know where we are on the timetable. We are back to the place where not only the plants are able now to reproduce, the scientific term is asexually, but as I said, they announced today that they have made lab animals out of cells without using a sperm and an egg. Before the fall, man was only given to eat of the plants that had seed that God had originally planted. And this was a model, I said, for the plan of redemption. Because look at this, Genesis 3:15. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And I'm sure I will be teaching about that in time to come about the Nephilim. Let me go on because I know we're having a baptism tonight. Look at this. The gardener works with seeds. Genesis 17:19. And God said, Sarah thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed. Do you see what I'm trying to say? The difference why God used the word plant, why God went to planting, is that creation is a one-time thing. But the planting of a seed means that there is something within it to be able to continue in itself that act. That's why angels are created, they cannot reproduce. But we were not created and he stopped there. He went through that six-word process. You all got it now? Say it. Create, formed, made, plant, grow, water. You see, angels, they were just created, and so they cannot change. Anything that just God created stays that same way. But when he planted and he commanded that it should have the reproduce after his kind, that was the difference. That's why he went to plant instead of just speaking us into existence. We'd have been no different from the other creation that just was a one-time eternal thing. But we were meant to not stay the same, but we were meant to bring forth a harvest. Amen. That's what he said in the New Testament. He said he had a fruit tree, and he dug around looking for what? That there would be some fruit. And he came back and he says, I'm going to give it another year. And he's going to water it and fertilize it. And he's coming back to see if we have produced anything. Because we were not made like the angels. We were planted as a seed. Look at this. I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. Hallelujah. Amen. Here comes the fulfillment. Hebrews 2:16. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of it. God could have just made Jesus appear as a baby. But he went through the process of an egg and a sperm. Supernatural, but he went through the reproductive process. Hebrews 11:11 says, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. And I already have next month's theme, the promises of God. Who had promised? So my question is this. Don't stop at being create. Don't stop at being formed. You have to get all the way down to being planted. Amen. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. And it does matter who planted you too. Matthew 13:24. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares, Canada thistle. Right? It doesn't need any seed. In fact, it does not have any seed. In fact, John says, if his seed remain in you, you can't do what? Sin. And that's the noun. It means live in sin permanently. It doesn't mean we won't fall short, but it means live permanently in a place of sin. We shouldn't be living in a complete permanency of sin. That's the now. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. Amen. Sister Johnny.
I just had a thought came to my mind. It's like when I was growing up in the South and we planted things, they had a saying of the plant has been stunted where it won't grow. So that's the same thing can happen to a person who is saved. If they're living in sin, they can be stunted to the point where they won't grow.
Amen. Jesus told, apart from this parable, he told several parables about seed. And one of them is cares of life, right? Choke them, or the birds come, they don't let the word remain in them. And so when they receive it with gladness. They're happy Sunday, but by midday Monday, it's gone. Midday Monday, they're back to being in the dumps. They were rejoicing Sunday, but they let Satan come and steal the word. Verse 26, but when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. You see, 1 John 3:9, so whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed. Do you understand what I'm saying? The devil's plants can't reproduce, at least not normally, because they do not reproduce with seed. That's what I'm trying to tell you. And that's why in the creative process, God went to plant. He could have done creation, but that would have been something that was unchanged, just staying there fixed. But he said, reproduce after his kind. For his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin. Now, what that means is, in the Greek, there's several ways it mentions sin. Sometimes as a verb, right? To sin, and sometimes as a noun, meaning like a place name. And in this case, what it's trying to express is like a town. You should not be living in the town of sin, right? If you're a Christian, if you're truly his seed, you may fall, but you're going to get up. You're not going to stay there. That's what it's speaking about. In the Greek, it's using the word for sin in the context of a noun. That means that's where you live. If you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you should not be living in sin. Yes, we will. We may transgress. In fact, the Bible says just lack of faith is a transgression is a sin. But it's not a place you should be living in all the time. Right? There's something wrong if your permanent residence is sin. If that's the name of your town. Right? S-I-N. No. We should be on a journey. We are not living in sin. Amen? And the proof of this is John himself says, if we say that we have no sin, in this case he's using it as a verb, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. So to harmonize those two verses, you have to understand what he's trying to say. Yes, we will fall short. That's the definition, hamartia, to fall short, to miss the mark. But we should not be falling short because we never aimed high. in other words. In other words, we were not even trying. We wanted to mess up. We parked our car right there and let out the air. We weren't going anywhere. That's not what it's saying. 2 Corinthians 5:9, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. See, that's really, when you sum it all up, what this is about. Amen. God knows that because of this flesh, this whole creation is corrupted. That's why he said in Romans 8 that the whole creation, what? Groaneth and travaileth in pain, to wit, waiting for the redemption. That means the appearance, the bringing back of the children of God, the sons of God. See, there's coming a time of harvest. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? And he said unto them, An enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go gather them up? But he said, Nay, lest while he gather up the tares, he root up also the wheat with them. So I said, it is important who planted you. Amen? Because if you've been planted by him, you're going to bring forth good fruit. Right? We have scriptures on the fruit of the Spirit, right? Right? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Now, who named some crops that they had been planting? Have you been planting some love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, gentleness, meekness? Because that's the garden we all should be have bringing forth, right? It's good that we can get some tomatoes and garlic and whatever. But the true Christian, we need to be bringing forth all those fruits of the Spirit. Because if not, the next question is, well, who planted you? Verse 30, let both grow together until the harvest. In the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Anyone remember what I said the wheat represents? The barley represents who? Someone said it. The Jews. The Jews. We're the wheat. We're the wheat. Right? Jesus was Passover was the season of the barley harvest. And 49 days later was the season of the wheat harvest. Remember the wheat, the two loaves of wheat were offered up with leaven. Right? We come to Jesus now as we are, with leaven. So we are the wheat. But gather the wheat into my barn. Here's the scripture I have been quoting. It says, but he answered and said, this is Jesus, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. That's why when you go to the book of to the book of Revelation, you find the tree of life. But you don't find the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, do you? Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not... I've taught this before and I won't try and teach it tonight, but I think that Satan also wanted to get into the plant business. He didn't want to be left out. He couldn't create. He couldn't really form. He couldn't make. But he thought, you know what? I can plant. He tried to get into the growing business. Amen. But here's the beautiful thing. We start out in a garden in Genesis. The garden is there at the resurrection. Amen. And guess what? The garden is there at the end. That should tell us something. Revelation 2:7, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. See, no more mention of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That's gone. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, and here's a Bible study mystery for anyone who wants to go study, was there the tree of life which bare 12 manner of fruits, right? 12 manner of fruits. Now, how many fruits are we told of the Spirit? 9. All right, so there's a study there, a mystery there to be decoded. Yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. There are 12 tribes, yes. If you could stand with me, I know we're finishing early, but as I said, we're having a baptism tonight. Verse 14. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life. Remember now, Genesis 3. Lest they put forth their hand and eat also of the tree of life and live forever. Here's the change. Blessed are they that do his commandments. Teaching, Matthew 28, 19, teaching them to observe, that means to follow, to obey, all that I have what? Commanded. Revelation 22, 14. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have a right. You know, we're told as Americans that we have a bill of what? Rights. I have a right to remain silent. I have a right to freedom of speech. But I'm telling you, there's a right that is greater than all of them. And that is the right to eat of the tree of life. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. Amen. Tonight, I told you a story about the gardener. Amen. That he wants to create in you a clean heart. Renew a right spirit. Amen. He wants to travail till Christ be formed in you. Amen. Amen. Then we shall be made heirs and joint heirs. Amen. If we have been planted together with him in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Amen. That we may grow up before him. Amen. The Bible speaks of Jesus that he may grow up as a tender shoot. Amen. Amen. And that we will be what? What's the next word after grow? Watered. Oh, come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. On that last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus cried out with a loud voice. He that is thirsty, amen, come unto me and I will give you some water. The woman at the well, right? The woman at the well. He said, if you knew who was talking to you, you would rather ask of me and I will give you rivers. Rivers. Remember the name of the four rivers? Pison, Gihon, Hiddekel, Euphrates. Amen. Rapid bursting forth fruitfulness. Increase fruitfulness. I will give you rivers, not one, rivers of living water. See, the plan really is to get us back in the garden. That's the plan. The thief on the cross, he said, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus turned to him and said, today, you will be with me in paradise. Bible says he has seated us in heavenly places. It's just we can't see it with our natural eyes yet. I tell you, if God could open our spiritual eyes, we'd be in so much shock. When the eyes of Elisha's servant was opened, he was in shock. He saw that they were surrounded by a heavenly host. If God could open our eyes, he would show some of us that we are already walking in a garden. Isn't that what Christopher preached? He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He puts me down by green pastures. Amen. Amen. By rivers of living waters. I'm telling you, the gardener has a plan for your life. Sometimes it involves a little bit of snipping, a little bit of pruning, a little bit of tying up to the stake so that you grow up straight, that you don't lean over, that you can bear the weight, because he wants a lot of fruit out of you, right? He wants a lot of fruit. Sometimes he's going to dig around and take away the weeds. But if you will let the gardener work on your life, you'll be able to produce a harvest. The fruit of the Spirit. Kindness, gentleness, meekness, love, long-suffering, peace, right? And all the other nine fruits. I'm closing this tonight, but I want you to be encouraged. Meditate upon this word. Meditate upon this word. Meet him in the garden. That garden was a place of what? Prayer. Talking to God is what? Prayer. Anywhere you talk to God, then you are praying. That's what Adam and Eve were doing. They heard the voice of the Lord God walking. All they could do in their prayer was give thanks. It was perfect. Whenever you're talking to Jesus, you are praying. And he met them in the garden. If you could bow your heads with me, Lord, we just thank you tonight for this word. Let it bring forth a harvest of blessing, of faith. Hallelujah. As we understand that you have a plan, a process for us. Hallelujah. That you want to create, you want to form, you want to make, you want to plant. Hallelujah. You want to grow and water us. Hallelujah. Till we come up before you and be transformed in your likeness. Lord, let there be an anointing.